make and trying to suggest that people think you do, but you really don't know. And then he goes on, secondly, to basically instruct them on the resurrection of the dead. And then we see in verse 32, he basically quotes Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, when it says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now, this is a subtlety here that is very important that we don't miss. Now, sometimes you know how it is when we think we're kind of smarter than a lot of other folks, and sometimes we think we're smarter than Jesus, right? You know, I'll think, you know, wait a minute, Jesus. If I was sitting here listening to this conversation, I'm thinking, wait a minute. To prove the resurrection or that there is really life after death, what the Sadducees would deny, well, Jesus, look, why don't you go to Exodus chapter 3, 6, this seemingly confusing passage, I am the God of the living, not of the dead, right? I am the God of Abraham. Why would you go there when passages like Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 seem to be a little more straightforward, which reads, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. I'm like, that's a clear verse, and it's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. That's the first thing that should come to your mind, Jesus. But Jesus, being very wise and smart, much smarter than all of us, right? He understood that the Sadducees did not accept the testimony of the prophets. They accepted the testimony of the law, or of Exodus, but they didn't accept the testimony of the prophets. So it really wouldn't have made Jesus' point for him to quote an authority that they didn't accept. In other words, what Jesus did, he says, look, I'm going to take an authority that you accept, that you think is true, and that you think is accurate, and then show you that, look, if he is speaking in the present here, I am the God of Abraham, how could God be the God of Abraham in the present if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aren't still alive? You see, in other words, he again flipped the script on the Sadducees. And they had to wonder and think about that. Wait a minute, we do accept the fact that the testimony of God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so when they heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because again, as I said earlier, the contradiction that they thought was Jesus, Jesus flipped the script and let them know that the contradiction you thought was mine is actually yours. And here again, Jesus understanding not only his, or understanding the scriptures, but he also understood the worldview and the thinking of those who he was interacting with, and he was able to encourage them in particular ways here. And so I think this is very interesting for us to look at, that even when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see not only does he instruct us to love God with all of who we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we also see in his ministry throughout this aspect of cultivating the life of the mind. And as I've mentioned throughout, part of our discipleship unto the Lord Jesus and following Christ is learning to cultivate the life of the mind. We certainly should not neglect every other aspect of our lives, but we certainly need not to minimize that. I want to encourage you to take seriously the opportunities that you have to think, to study, to grow, to reflect on our world. Because I think in doing so, we'll come to understand the beauty of God's creation more and the grandeur of his work in this earth in ways that will encourage our hearts. So let me encourage you to cultivate the life of the mind. And in doing so, you follow not only the instruction of Jesus, but also the example of our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for these students that you have assembled here. Father, we pray that those aspects of your word, Lord, that you want us to have, that they sink deep into our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that they take root, Lord, and produce fruit in our lives. Those areas or aspects, Lord, that were not of you, Lord, I pray that they quickly pass from our minds. Father, I just pray that you just strengthen and encourage each and every individual that's here. I pray that their hearts be encouraged and continue to grow in new heights for you, and to understand that what it means to be a disciple of you, not only to be transformed in our spiritual lives, Lord, but also be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we know that in doing so, we actually fulfill the call to discipleship that you placed before us. We ask these things in the name of your mighty and precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.